Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, and cutting Eastern Washington commentary in an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by Ford Royalty, MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. Hi there. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field. He's Dr. Buttstuff.
That's Mr. Dr. Buttstuff. Yeah, we spent the last 5 minutes before we started recording actually making funny jokes. We get it all out of our system just for you. Like Ed once said, it's the quantity of jokes that counts.
Yeah, shout outs to Ed. He might be moving here, man. That's great.
Oh, hey, you know what? I just read, speaking of cutting Eastern Washington commentary, the Wall Street Journal has just named Spokane, my town that I live in right now, as the number 5 hottest market in the United States. Number 1 is our neighbors in North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene. So if you want to come buy a bunch of guns and a house, come be my neighbor, I guess.
I don't want any of that. But the rest of my family, boy, I just saw them. My dad went and died like an idiot. And so we had to go clean out his house. And I like ran into all my family and they were like, at least 3 people have bought guns because the liberals are coming for them. And I was like, cool. You got one of my relatives, Fox News did not handle the election well enough. And so she's moved beyond that. I'm like, what's beyond Fox News? I don't even understand.
Maybe they know that the liberals are coming for their guns and they don't want the liberals to be disappointed when they come for the guns and you don't have any. So they're buying guns. It's kind of like a liberal trick or treat situation.
I think they might have misunderstood the use of the word and that might be. Oh, God.
What's your kink?
Oh, the steel. Oh.
Now that just ruined trick or treating for me, to be honest.
Do us a quick solid to click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 69 stars.
But primarily 420 if you're in Canada. Leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from center back Kim Ki-hee to center back John Kennedy Hurtado to any center back ever that isn't Javier Arriaga's first half.
This week, the better than we thought Sounders FC take on the only team with 2 big W's and 1 little P, LA Galaxy. That's a Chicharito joke. I thought it was good. I don't know.
No, I think it's good because what Chicharito is Spanish for little P, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which, hey, that means that my dog lets out a Chicharito every night when he's laying on his bed.
Wait, does he shit peas? I don't understand.
No, he leaks a little bit. I don't know if he's like he doesn't like old man drip or something like that, but every time he's laying on his bed, he gets a little pee on whatever he's laying on. Or sorry, a little Chicharito.
Did you show him too many guns?
He is, as we've already determined, my dog is a racist.
Good old Mr. Dr. Murder. That's your dog's new name, by the way. Oh, wait, Murder. I changed it completely. My bad. Your dog's name is Mr. Dr. Murder now. Find us online at full90podcast.com, where you can find our OnlyFans, all our links and our social medias. All right, cool. So you have written here, Brandon, and I'm curious to know why. I'm in, obviously, but we owe you an apology.
We do.
The first line of our podcast today.
I feel like we do owe you an apology, our listeners, because for all of our talk about the Canadian conversion to 69, And 420, 69 Canadian is 420 American, as we all know. That is the butt stuff equation.
the Mr. Dr. Butt Stuff theory.
Yeah. And last week, 420 came and passed, and we did not do a 69-minute episode, and that is our bad.
Shout out to Sean Gervin for calling me out on that as well. I thought about doing an old R-Dumb podcast trick and being like, we might not be doing an episode today, but just wanted to say what's up, and then letting it run for 69 minutes and then ending it, but...
It would have been worth it. Yeah, it would have been worth it.
Well, I was traveling. I was in New Mexico cleaning out a dead dude's house, and I was working by morning and then cleaning by night, and the rooms I was staying in were very bad in terms of sound quality, and so on top of that, I had like weird meetings and stuff, and so you just can't... It's a depressing thing to be doing. So
well, and you and it looks like you spent at least 4 hours getting your hair cut.
Hey, there it is, Brandon. The hair came off, man. It is. It's very windy in New Mexico. So I grew up as a kid with this saying that I think it's March or May. I can't remember which one. Great saying that it comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. And so because of the high pressure zones and the low pressure working against one another, it's totally windy there all the time. I got there after about 7 minutes of being in the wind. I was like, I'm cutting off this damn hair. This sucks because it's just the worst, just all over the place. And I've got facial hair, so it sticks to that. And then I'm like screaming in the parking lot. Ah! Like I'm just very.
And you weren't confident around all of your Fox News or beyond Fox News watching in-laws to rock the man bun.
Yeah, I mean, really, f*** them, but like, not to make a statement, but I don't care is what I'm trying to say, is that I can just, I'll rock whatever look I want.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did ask my cousin who has the tightest looking haircut, I was like, where'd you get your haircut? And he said, Randy's on Wyoming, and I was like, I'm there! And I went to Randy's, next thing you know, a bunch of hair on the floor, and whatever this ugly thing is, so...
I think you should pull a Tyrone Mears and just throughout this season of the podcast come in every day with a different haircut.
You know, who else used to do that was old DeAndre Yedlin.
DeAndre Yedlin, yeah, exactly.
And my friend called him Whitney Houston because he always had some sort of like late 80s Whitney Houston haircut. And I always thought that was very funny.
he's bringing it back.
At some point, it took on legs, and it became, like, Hootenin, and I don't know, that was the, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Poor DeAndre Yedlin is hurt. Anyway, there was a soccer match, sorry about that, that we didn't podcast on 420, but, Dr. Buttstuff, Mr. Dr. Buttstuff, happy birthday.
Thank you. I spent the entire weekend doing a house project, and then discovering that I don't, like, there is much more to tiling a floor than I thought there was. And yeah. So there is now just a torn up sunroom with no tile on or anything on the floor.
Did you pull old tile up? Or
no, we pulled a bunch of carpet up and then we bought all of the tile, went to like four different home improvement stores to find all of the tile and crap that we needed. And then we're like, oh, we can't actually do this without going to like four other home improvement stores. And we've just kind of booted it until next week, probably.
You know, what everyone always thinks to themselves is this room would be a lot better if it was even more echoey. Then they put in tile. It's great.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I did get a chance to watch the Sounders game. My mom and her boyfriend came over to Spokane. And my mom, who is an avid listener of this podcast, sup, mom?
Sup, dummy.
And she...
Please explain that to her in the future when you when she hears it and is like, that's rude.
No, we specifically do that for you, Jennifer, my mom.
Yeah, yeah, it's because you're so stupid. I'm kidding. Your mother's lovely. She's tweeted at me many times.
Yeah, she tweeted at me on my first day of the job at the end. She tweeted at the end for my first day of the job. It was very
boy,
sweet.
Was that the gift that she gave to us.
Yep. We still carry to this day.
My heart is full.
The best part, so my mom does like to watch soccer. She likes to watch the Sounders, and the best thing happened while we were watching on the LAFC team. First of all, it is 1-1 draw. Brad Smith scored a goal. Whatever. My mom said to me out loud about a player on LAFC who is named Marco Farfan. She looks at me and goes, "Huh, Marco Fartfan." And I was like, "Mom, Mom, you have to put the phone down and stop listening to our podcast because it is
get
leaking.
A hobby. Jeez.
Yeah.
Good old fart fan.
Good old fart fan. And I was like, I'm surprised that we haven't done that joke yet.
To get back to your birthday real quick, I just want to say I saw a photo that maybe your wife posted or that you did. I don't know. You had a chain on. I thought that was a look. Very hip.
Nice birthday present for my wife.
Yeah, it's a like I said, it's a look. It's very hip right now. I know one other friend who's also cool that wears a chain right now. But I noticed that in your guys' hands, you were drinking wine. And so you certainly are old. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you drink white wine.
That's an interesting observation because...
And I was like, what?
It is very... I used to be like...
Oh, it's Spokane. My bad.
We don't like...
No. You're going to beep that.
Yeah. No, I stopped... I didn't stop drinking red wine. I will still drink red wine. But I always thought I hated white wine because my mom, hey mom again, would only drink Moscato. And I tried that once and it was like drinking, to me, it felt like drinking sugar syrup, right?
Yeah.
And then I had like proper, you know, white dry, Riesling and it was wonderful and I liked it. And so now I've expanded my palate a little bit and I decided it was a nice day out, a little bit sunny. So I got myself a white wine, enjoyed it on my 30th birthday. It was very nice.
Okay, cool. I hung out with my, literally the president of a bank brother. And so, you know, he's in his 50s. He's got some tastes that he enjoys and has the money to throw down. So, like, he was all about getting that $60 bottle of scotch and then just sitting around drinking it. And I was like, yeah, I'll hang out with you. This is great. So we drank a bottle of Oban, they probably pronounce it Oban. But, boy, if you ever wanted to spend, I mean, that's the problem with this state is the stupid liquor control board taxes the bejesus out of the liquor. It's like $20 more expensive here. But you want a good bottle of scotch? That's one way to go. Yeah, so, and he doesn't drink white wine either, and I'm like, good, because you're not wearing a chain.
Like an idiot. You know what? I will counteract. We're calling everybody idiots today. Yeah, nobody's safe from us, idiot. in order to, like, balance out the fact that I was drinking white wine on my birthday, I also had this drink that I drink all the time in college called a Peruvian bear. Sorry, get ready for the bleep there.
That's not how that works. You're not supposed to say get ready after.
Anyway, the PBF, as it's known in Bellingham, is it's a drop shot of Captain Morgan into a half glass of Rainier, or sorry, PBR and orange juice. So I drank plenty of it's actually delicious. We actually talked about this on the podcast Twitter page the other day with a couple listeners. So
when he says we, I definitely
strong recommend of the PBF.
So wait, it's a brass monkey, right?
Essentially,
Because the brass monkey, it's supposed to be, what's it called when it's a 40?
Malt liquor
and OJ? Is that what a brass monkey is? Yeah. Okay. And then you put a shot of rum in it?
Yeah, it's great. I promise.
Rum is the worst.
I agree. I don't like rum.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
I don't like rum.
He chases it with a little white wine.
Yeah, exactly. And then I turned 30 and I had to stop drinking those immediately.
That's untrue. I had a Four Loko when I was 31 and it ruined Thanksgiving, but it was awesome.
I'm just imagining you I don't know why, walking into the dinner, like where all your family and friends are eating, just in your whitey tidies, like Will Ferrell in The Office style, like just barreling through with malt liquor on your head, be like, sup, dummies? Who's ready for some photies?
Sup, dummies?
I hope that's how it happened. Don't tell me how it actually happened because I don't want to know because I'd rather live with that memory.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly what happened, Brandon. Exactly that. Yeah. Well, should we stop? I mean, I feel like I've exercised a lot of funnies out of me that I needed to get rid of.
And... Everybody knows that the game ended 1-1 and Brad's Baldsmith scored a goal. And so what else do you need to know?
So I got someone called me out. I can't remember who it was. Sorry. I'm not going to look it up because lazy. But I kept calling him Lex Luthor because he looks like Lex Luthor or Freddy Lundberg. I mean, whichever. Lex Luthor from like one of the Lois and Clark or something like that. The young one.
We're talking
about
Brad Smith.
Yeah. Come on. Follow along. Keep up, everybody.
Idiots.
And I was like, oh, Lex Luthor. And they were like, I think you're talking about the wrong person. And then there was Bob Bradley. And I was like, oh, you're right. But I was like, what if there is some sort of time rift here? And Brad Bradsmith actually becomes Bob Baldly. Also, update.
Yeah, I actually think that this is a alternate universe where both Voldemort, aka Bob Bradley, yeah, and Lex Luthor, Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor, Brad Bradsmith, combine to form like some sort of evil villain supergroup.
This is a same movie studio. We got to look that up, because if it is, it's like it writes itself.
The crossover event of the century. Put in your new Space Jam.
I got to give a shout out to Scuba Steve, who had the tweet of Brandon's life, I believe.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. We're sitting there tweeting about the live tweeting the game, as we always do. Go follow along at Full 90 Podcast on Twitter.
Thanks.
And Scuba Steve, great friend of the podcast, says, "I've been listening to you two dummies for too long. Every time they say Opoku," who is a player on LAFC, "every time they say Opoku, all I hear is Hakuho." Which is, as we all know, Ozeki?
No, he's Yokozuna. Yeah, he's won like 40-something Basho, right, man.
And
yeah,
he's retired. We haven't talked about that on the podcast
recently. He retired?
Didn't you say that a couple weeks
ago?
No,
oh my God. Kakaru retired. Oh my God.
Oh,
Kakaru. Freaked me out.
Okay.
Kakaru retired. No. Okay, hold on.
Relax. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to send you into a
tailspin. But you don't understand, there's like implications from that. Hakuho has only allegedly stayed on as a sumo wrestler, as a rikishi, because he changed his nationality, became a Japanese citizen because he wants to lead Japan out at the Tokyo Games last summer. And it didn't happen because of coronavirus, as we all know. And they're still planning to go forward with it right now, tentatively. And so he's holding on as a sumo wrestler so he can be the one that carries the Japanese flag out and be the biggest sporting star in the world for one moment on that really bad beginning show to the Olympics that I watch every single time.
New biggest boy. Realistically, we have a new biggest boy. Goodbye, Roman Torres. Hello, Sol Yokozuna Hakuho, as Terunofuji returns to Ozeki. So, very big news.
Okay, Terunofuji is, they can say it's Terunofuji, he's going, he got promoted to Ozeki, which is exciting, because that used to be the top level before Yokozuna. I think he's probably the next Yokozuna. However, he blew out both his knees like 5 years ago, and so he doesn't move laterally very well. He's just so big and strong that it's really hard to beat him. And so he could go to Yokozuna and then retire in like a year. So it could be like a very short-lived thing that happens, but I think he's going to do it. He's just got to win this week.
I'm just trying to see Hakuho in that new Space Jam.
Man, that would be, oh my God, can you imagine? I'm all bothered now.
We've said big boy, so that obviously makes us think of Roman Torres, which obviously makes us think of the Sounders FC defense, where you've got a note in here that says, asks the question, is our best defender? Nuhu, N-E-W, H-E-W, of course.
Yeah, is Nuhu our best defender? And I'm going to say, after two matches this season, the answer is definitely yes. Without a doubt, he has been the best defender. Specifically because of the call that he made that he was overturned on. I'm going to say he's been a better defender than Stefan Fry. Look at that.
Absolutely.
Because he made the call that he needed to be on the ground to stop that trick play that people were trying to do to kick the ball under a jumping wall. And he was waved off. What happens? What's his name? Atuesta steps up, takes the free kick under the wall, goes in. Sounders down 1-0 2 minutes into the match, and Nuhu just looks up like, yeah, well, I mean, I think
that Stefan Fry was just trying to give Taylor Twellman something to talk about for the next 90 minutes, because that's all he freaking talked about for the next 90 minutes. The other thing, the thing to know about this,
that's amazing. I didn't listen.
Oh,
I was unable
Lucky
to hear
you.
So this is, I'm not proud of this, but I'll just say it anyway, because we're all just friends here, right? I was legitimately traveling for a very sad thing, but on the way to the airport, I posted up at a Buffalo Wild Wings, which is actually, I got to give them credit. The way they had that place set up for COVID was legit. I mean, there wasn't a table within 10 feet of me. It was really pretty neat. So I got to eat my boneless wings, because I'm a big, you know, big dork.
You got to eat your chicken nuggets.
Yeah, great. That is not an insult to me.
I agree. I love chicken nuggets.
I almost went tenders because I prefer the if you don't know what a chicken tender is specifically, look it up. It's awesome. I mean, I know you understand the concept of what a chicken tender is, but it's a specific cut that's really important.
It's good. Very good.
Thanks, our dumb podcast. The fourth shout out to that podcast today. But I watched it on their big screen there, and part of the problem, other than the distracting butt that was going by all the time, was that
news?
Mr. Dr. Butt stuff. Yeah, that's what I meant. What were you thought of talking about? that they don't put the sound on. And so it was on every screen but three, but I couldn't get them to put the sound on. So I was just imagining Taylor Twellman driving John Champion crazy by commenting on something very oddly specific and fixating on it with the sounders. And it turns out
accurate.
I was right.
Well, yeah. So what's interesting is I feel like this was a bit of a double whammy. First of all, you have the whole Stephen Fry calling New Who off. New Who asks, should I lay behind these guys on the floor? And Stephen Fry says, no. You guys even see it in his face. It's like, no, why would you do that? That looks stupid. We're not that kind of team. New Who's like, okay, shrugs it off, walks around, and he doesn't even get on the wall. He goes to defend like one of the players in the box, right? Of course, Atuesta takes the free kick, goes under the jumping wall and into the net. Stephen Fry immediately looks mad and angry, yelling at the wall, probably because if you don't have a guy laying behind that wall, you don't jump, right? Especially at that distance, right outside the box, fouled by Javier Arriaga in like the second minute. if you don't have at that distance, it's going to be very difficult to like get it up and then back down into the net. But what's interesting and what I didn't realize is that this person laying behind the wall is somewhat new to soccer. It started in the Brazilian league and it kind of looked stupid, but it worked. You couldn't score a goal underneath the wall. New Who has been watching all of these other teams in the world. You've seen it even in the Champions League. You've got like professional $1 million players instead of the $65,000 man laying behind the wall to stop.
If anyone's expendable.
Exactly. And so then you just get Taylor Twellman talking about how like, you got to have a guy under the wall. I'm like, shut up, Taylor Twellman. This thing's 5 seconds old and you're already saying, like you're the expert on it.
Yeah, the fact that he, you know, no disrespect, I'm joking when I say that who is better than Stephen Fry. Come on.
Of course.
Stephen Fry made the save of the immaculate save or whatever it called.
Yeah. The immaculate reception? No, that's Golden Tate, right? Whatever.
Conception, that's what it is. He is
That's Jesus.
Yeah, he's New Who is Stephen Fry's Jesus. Got it.
Okay.
We sorted that out. Good. For New Who to just pick up on that, I kind of feel like maybe New Who kind of gave the idea to Atuesta to be like, oh, that's not bad. Those guys are about to jump. I'm going to try it. And then it paid off because the rest of the game, LAFC was pretty much hot garbage. But it was an opportunity missed. And great for New Who was the one to have that. I don't know. Maybe you've read the stories and the internet about what happened to Yamar, but what happened to Yamar?
So this is what's interesting. A lot of pundits, I don't know, people who beat reporters, right, who cover the team, have asked directly. They've asked Brian Schmetzer, where's Yamar? Why is he not getting the minutes? Even in the preseason, he was playing with the second team where Arriaga was getting more time with the first team. And Brian Schmetzer has just come out and said, look, we're going to get some rotation. It's not a discipline thing. It's not a quality thing. It's just we're going to get some rotation. Well, you've now got two games where Arriaga has come out and just looked like he's in Roman Torres fitness, right? And it's not necessarily his fitness that's the problem. It's just his decision-making and the communication. And you understand, like, with the Sounders' new formation, there's going to be a learning curve, right?
Not for New Who.
Not for New Who, though. And you got a player like New Who and even Brad Smith, who seems to be playing their position well. Brad Bradsmith is meant to get far, far forward. As you saw, he got a lot of, albeit terrible, crosses in. Ends up scoring a goal because of this formation. Arriaga, it just looks like he's always between two minds of like, am I a defensive midfielder or am I a center back who's supposed to go back and defend the freaking ball? Well, hey, buddy, you're a center back. Go back. Like, don't ever... it's like when you're a baseball outfielder. Your first step on a pop fly is always back, even if you know that the ball is going to be in front of you. Your position is to not let the ball go behind you. Same as a center back. Don't let the ball go behind you. Always be running backwards if the ball is getting played in that direction. And it just, every single time, he was just a step behind. I think you said this well. He always looks like he's a step behind, despite being six steps ahead, like being already six steps ahead of everybody.
Yeah, there was one play specifically where it was so close to letting up a goal there, where he just was He had a 6-step advantage over somebody and ended up getting beaten to the ball because he was so flat-footed. It's just, it really is, you know, we give him, we sweat him a lot here on this very reputable program. But it really is like a gigantic question mark. And it seems like, I don't know what it is about, central defense is one of the most difficult positions to play. Like, if you're a goalkeeper, obviously you're just screwed. Like, you just have, hopefully your reflexes are great, and that's all you can really be. There's a lot of training that goes to it and everything, but like, rarely are you blaming the goalkeeper for the result. It happens from time to time, but rarely is it just that, like Arsenal over the weekend, my get. Anyway, but the central defense, it's so hard to have two guys that are firing together at all times. You have to have one super guy and one wild card, that seems like. So with having three back there, you hope that that's going to play out a little bit better. I think Shane O'Neill has looked like he's up for the change, but that he's carrying weight for Arriaga a little bit. Nuhu is his own thing. That guy is just like,
can't get past him. Can't get past him.
He's great, and it's weird to think that he's the guy that I'm least worried about drawing the red card in the box right now.
Yeah.
Or not least, but I'm less so than
you have been in
Fingerwick Magerson.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you've got human tech deck legs, like action figure legs going everywhere, like Nuhu.
Yeah.
In the past, you're like, this guy is going to accidentally bicycle kick somebody in the face, and that's going to be a red card and penalty.
Which is actually now legal. So
yeah, apparently, as it happened to Christian Roldan in the second half, gets bicycle kicked into the head, and the guy's on the instant replay, the MLS like referee review.
Okay.
Like, no, they don't even make contact. It's like even the editor of those people's show pointed an arrow to him getting kicked in the head. Like the editor is like, "Are you guys dumb?"
One of us. Like, I mean, that guy gets it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, hold on, let me just emphasize this real quick. There we go.
I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know for sure. I think Brian Schmetzer likes the fact that Yamar is incredibly good passer, good with his feet. He's quick if he takes the right steps. Yamar might be more of a just proper defender, like win all of the balls, get it to somebody else who knows how to play it kind of guy. But if you're going to, like, LAFC could have scored well more than one goal in that half if they had, if Diego Rossi or Carlos Vela were playing that game, Sounders give up way more than one goal in that first half.
They put up a weird stat, the stat where they were like, with Rossi and Vela, they scored, you know, 2.3 goals a game, and without him, they scored 2.1. And I was like, wow, that's, for as much as they do in that team, what consistency. Old Bob Bradley, what's his name? He does a good job of being able to step other guys up to fill those gaps. It's really that's fascinating for that, and for us to get to watch our team get away with that is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I wonder if Yamar would have started had either of those guys been in the lineup for LAFC.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, is Yamar not adapting as well as Arriaga to this new 3-center-back, 5 kind of back line system? Or is he just, is it a rotation thing? Is it a fitness thing? Who knows? Only Brian Schmetzer knows, and possibly Yamar knows why he's making those decisions. But I would not be surprised after that Arriaga showing if Yamar gets a look. Maybe it's in for Shane O'Neill. Maybe Yamar and Arriaga play better together. And there's a better communication there, both of these guys being Spanish speakers. Who knows what it is? I'd be curious, but I would be surprised if that Sounders back line doesn't get a bit of a buff next week.
I had a realization while I was watching that I don't think we're gonna see that Nuhu goal anytime, because it's not worth sending him up. I haven't been paying attention, but for set pieces, it's not worth sending him up because he doesn't have the height that these other guys do. So you keep him back because he's so fast to track back too. So like, I'd want him up at the center circle for corner kicks to make sure that you don't get a counterattack because he's so quick, and then send your taller guys up there to be able to do. But I bummed because when he was playing left back, then he was bombing up the sides and putting in crosses that were no worse than what
Brad Smith.
It's like,
well, maybe that Brad Smith goal that he ends up getting off of a deflection from a Raul Ruiz Diaz shot, maybe that ends up being a Nuhu goal. That is only Brad Smith's second professional goal in his entire career, his first one coming for I don't even remember. I think it was Bournemouth. He scored a goal for Bournemouth back in the day. Second goal in his entire career. And you got to imagine, and you've read about this on SoundersFC.com, this formation is intended to get Brad Smith into those positions where he can score those kinds of goals. Nuhu, had he been playing left back, maybe he's the one on the end of that ball.
I just want to touch on one more thing here before we move on, and that has to do with how everyone had the same incredible take during the match when substitute for LAFC comes on in the 80-whatever minute. Bryce Duke. My immediate thing was like, oh, does this guy play lacrosse in the South? Or like, who is Bryce? There's no more privileged name than Bryce Duke.
Yeah, I think...
Mr. Dr. Buttstuff.
Mr. Dr. Buttstuff obviously gets whatever he wants. But you and I think at the same exact time when Bryce Duke got subbed in, sent each other something so similar, and we don't even have to say what they are because like seven people online also said the same thing. So Beth Mantle, who helps with the Sounder at Heart Social, says, Bryce Duke looks like he plays the high school bully in a Netflix original movie, which I think is exactly what I said to you.
You said, Bryce Duke is the name of every 80s movie bully. Yeah. So yeah, same thing.
Matt Oak says, who's this effing villain frat bro Bryce Duke? Are you shitting me? Jeremiah Ocean, Sounder at Heart, says, Bryce Duke looks like he used to beat up kids from Reseda.
I didn't know that's how you spelled Reseda, to be fair.
Yeah, me either. I would have just imagined, because I've been Googling a lot, receding hairline. Hey, I'm 30 now. You got to be thinking about these things.
Yeah, come on, dude.
And lastly,
at least it's all growing like on your butt and stuff. Yeah,
perfect. Got to keep it warm. I live in Spokane now. And then lastly, at It's Dr. M says, in honor of Bryce Duke, I recommend watching the 1998 classic Jonathan Taylor Thomas film, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Excellent watch. I mean, he does look like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. It literally got me and my mom talking about like this big tangent about like who's the kid from Home Improvement who ended up getting in a lot of trouble as an adult. To be fair, was not Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
It was Zachary Ty Bryant, obviously.
Yeah, it was Bryce Duke.
Okay, that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the new and used man of the match.
Yeah, your new and used man of the match. Well, we've already talked about him.
Nuhu's new and used for new and certified pre-owned trains, and choo-choo mobiles. Can't believe you got me to read that. That's amazing.
I love it. So Nuhu, I mean, so this is what's crazy. Brad Smith, we talked about, he played a pretty garbage first half. I mean, he'd get into positions, but his crosses would go to freaking Australia.
Well, I mean, he's homesick. Yeah, I get it.
Obviously.
It makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, it's the sign of a team that is not yet up to speed yet, that didn't have the same kind of preseason that they normally would, where he's just rusty,
well,
it looks like.
So he gets the Sounders tying goal.
He's getting used to the toilets flushing the opposite direction. It's just a thing.
He's getting used to not having to check under his bed for spiders.
Putting the wrong swirl on the ball, right? Because in Australia it goes the other way.
Right, obviously. The upside down. It's funny that I said not checking under his bed for spiders when there was a bunch of news today about how Toronto FC, who's been calling their home Miami or in Florida because of COVID restrictions about traveling back and forth from Canada. Anyway, there was a live like alligator at their training session.
Not just an alligator, like a massive dinosaur.
A big old dinosaur alligator, yeah.
Yeah.
So Brad Smith, despite getting the goal, despite having a pretty terrible first half, ends up getting on the MLS team of the week and is the player of the game for the Sounders. However, I'm going to have to go and say that Nuhu, who showed his playing 4D chess, telling Stephen Fry he needs to lay behind the wall. And then the way that he played, just shielding players out, clearing everything. I mean, he had a game.
Steph, I've seen the future. You got to listen to me.
Knew who's living in 30-30.
LA Galaxy on Sunday, Lumen Field, 6 p.m. Sounders will finally be wearing, when you say Jimmy kits, it definitely makes it sound like they're wearing condoms, like from Naked Gun. Full body condoms, everybody. They're wearing their Jimmy kits.
They're wearing their Jimmy kits. I kind of want to Photoshop. We sent around a bunch of mock-ups of like our dumb faces on these kits because
I know
Photoshop. I kind of want to do a Jimmy Traore version where we can call them the Jimmy kits, but with the D. Jimmy with the D. Let's hope Jimmy with the D doesn't have a little chicharito.
Wait, did you say your dog has a chicharito every night?
Yeah, every night.
let's
Mr. Dr. Murder, my dog.
All right, the last time these two teams squared off was a draw in which both Chicharito and Raul Ruidíaz scored a goal. It's early season, but Los Angeles and Seattle are number one and number two in the MLS West. LA, like I said at the top of the show, is the only team that has not done anything but win. Mm-hmm. Wait, did I say that right?
They've won. They're undefeated. They've played two games. Sounders.
They're the only team with two wins in MLS. Yeah, everyone else.
Sounders are technically undefeated. There's a host of undefeated teams that are 1-1. But Galaxy have won both of their games. In those two games, Chicharito, the little P, has scored five goals. He's the MLS leading goal scorer right now. So he's on fire right now. LA Galaxy playing with a new coach, Greg Vanney, who the Sounders should know well. Old coach of Toronto, faced him three freaking times in the MLS Cup. So it'll be interesting to see this match.
Last week out, Chicharito scored a hat trick against the New York Red Bulls, who won 3-2. I guess they could have given up a PK.
Galaxy won 3-2. It could have been 3-3. They were lucky not to give up a penalty in stoppage time. O'Neill Fisher, former Sounder, brought a guy down in the box in like the 97th minute or something. Chicharito, I mean, obviously the top story is hat trick, five goals in two games. Two of his goals in that game were gimmies, but he's in the right spot. You got to be there to score, as they say, right? So
I don't know if he's ready to be finger wagged though. That's the thing. It's like he might have played in, you know, for Manchester United for all those years, but how vicious of a is he willing to handle? Now
I'm trying to think of like who's got the best finger wag in the game that isn't Arriaga. It's interesting. Like Sounders go up against LAFC. Without their two best players, Diego Rossi, Carlos Vela, they go into playing LA Galaxy without Sebastian Legette, who's out for using a homophobic slur, which sucks to suck. And then they go, though, playing against Chicharito, who's on fire. So they will be a little bit more challenged, I think, this week than they were last.
We call that pulling a Mark Birch, by the way.
I guess we're not immune.
All right. So let's do our, I guess this is the point where we take a look. Oh, wait, there's one bit of news here that late breaking, just because I forgot it after marking it hold. This could be the first time this season that we see Ladero suit up for the squad. I don't know if he'll make the starting 11 or not, but he's evidently rehabbed to the point where we might see him out there. I don't even know what his injury is other than obviously a hamstring.
It's a hamstring. It's Canadian bacon string.
I can't see him being in the starting 11 and rushing him back, especially with the way coach is putting players out there, not starting Yamar at this point. Why not give it a couple more weeks?
Well, in the way that Atencio's been playing, like, yes, this is a different team that we're playing up against. Yes, the Sounders haven't been dominant, but it's early in the season. Ladero, best player in the squad. You need him out there. But hey, two results for the Sounders so far without him. Without him, one result without him and Montero.
And I don't care what anyone says. Montero is, with age, starting to be able to play that role a little bit. Everyone says, no, he's the, you know, he's up, he plays up top. He plays number nine role or whatever. No, I think he can actually play that playmaker in the middle a little bit. I think it looks like he's relishing it a touch too. So I think there are still options between Atencio and Montero to be able to make that happen. If it's me, with all of my awesome shoot from the hip knowledge that I have, resting Ladero for another match or two is the way to go. Put him in the 18, get him 10 minutes if the result's looking good. Great. Get him, you know, to start getting a match fit or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, take a look into your Crystal Pepsi ball there, Brandon. We got a match on Sunday night, 6 p.m. They're my least favorite because I can't go despite living here and having a ticket. But what do you see happening for Seattle Sounders versus LA Galaxy at Lumen Field?
If I look into my Crystal Pepsi ball, swirling effervescence, clear in all of its glory,
it tickles my nose.
I see the Sounders winning this one, 1-0, goal from Oh, I can't decide between Will Bruin or Raul. I'm going to say Raul Ruiz Diaz. This guy likes to score against the Galaxy. He hasn't been scoring, or he didn't score in the LAFC match. He looked like he really wanted it. I'm going to say he picks one up in this one, and that the Sounders defense with Yamar keeps a shutout.
I'm going to say, this is a tough one for me. I think I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
Wow.
I think there's a couple goals to be had by somebody like Chicharito, who's on fire right now. But also, Raul Ruiz Diaz is due after last week. He was involved a lot. Sounders look really good kind of in the middle third. And then to be able to deliver up front, I think there'll be some changes to make that happen. I'm going to go 2-2. Disappointing, but we'll keep the LA Galaxy perfect season from happening.
You know what? This is like the PS to this podcast. I'm mad at MLS because I ordered the Jimi Hendrix kit that we keep talking about, and I paid for the 3 to 5 day shipping or whatever. I will get it in October, just in time for the Sounders to crash out of the playoffs.
Well, I don't even have a funny thing to say back to that.
No, it's just sad and I'm pissed. But I did get the new Who jersey, so.
You did? You got new Who?
Yeah, I am waiting for the Defender of the Year, the future Chad Marshall Defender of the Year, new Who, Jimi Hendrix kit.
Now, did you get new Who or new Who?
Oh, damn it!
In case you just woke up under a wall, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen.
In case you're not new Who. too long, didn't listen.
That's Mr. Dr. Murder, the dog. Too long, didn't listen.
New Who is Stephen Fry's baby Jesus, and New Who lives in 2030.
All right, and one more.
Too long, didn't listen.
Come on down to New Who's New and Used. Got the best choo-choos.